This is Orsi Official Old Guy at oldguytalkstome.com, a podcast dedicated to helping older guys create kick-ass lives for themselves and those that they love. It's for women, too. Each week, I bring you a special guest to help you create that life that you imagine for yourself and those that you love. We talk anti-aging medicine, personal growth, relationships, and sex, vices, and other topics that many don't want to talk about but need to. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you have to be old. Also, if you want to know three ways to get laid more frequently without begging, go to oldguytalks.com and opt in. When you do, you're going to get my informative video on three simple things you can do to get laid more frequently without begging, so you don't have to turn in your man card. And ladies, you may want your man to know these things, because I think you'll like it too. Additionally, you'll be notified weekly when a new podcast episode is ready for you to consume. Periodically, I will share with you other stuff that will help you create that life that you want for yourself and those that are important to you. Don't want to miss anything? Be sure to subscribe, share, and review this podcast. Did you know that there are 76 additives that have been approved by the FDA that can be added to wines? You want a wine with shit in it that may not be good for you? Well, there is an option for wines that have been produced naturally, organically, that have been tested, that have no sugar. And when they don't have any sugar, that means that they're ketosis and intermittent fasting friendly. These wines have been produced with a great deal of care on small farms and are available to you. How do you get them? Find out by going to www.oldguytalks.com/dryfarms. Dry Farms, all one word with an S, and find out more. And with your initial order, you can get a bottle for one penny. That's right, a bottle for one penny. And they taste great. They taste great. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Get those wines now. This is information only. Consult with an appropriate professional before starting any program. Do not be stupid. You are responsible for your own shit. The old guy is a capitalist and not a socialist weasel. He will be promoting stuff here and may be compensated. You can rest assured the old guy only promotes stuff he uses. You may have different results.
This is Oris the K-Man from www.oldguytalks.com coming at you with Jay Campbell from FabFitOver40. That's 40.com. You got to go to his website. We're going to be talking to you today about another session on testosterone replacement therapy. Before we start the interview, right here, you got to get Jay's book, The Definitive Testosterone Replacement Therapy Manual. Below, you're going to find a link to Amazon where you can buy it. You know, it's really good. This is a manual. You got to take notes when you read the book. Use it as a workbook. So, Jay, we've had a few sessions here, and today we're going to talk about a little bit about, so you're already taking testosterone.
Right.
And, you know, you've got a protocol that's working for you. Let's talk about what the blood levels mean and what are the normal ranges and how do doctors look at that and what's normal and what's not normal and what do you need to know about the testosterone levels?
Sure. So if you're a man already undergoing testosterone therapy, and hopefully you're working with a progressive doctor that understands how to measure your blood and do all these things, the most important things, and again, this is actually, I have a cheat sheet, as you know, laid out in the book. I think it's in chapter 10 or chapter 11 of the different tests and different biomarkers, that you should be massively cognizant and aware of. Okay. Again, every year. So normally what I say is, like, if you're undergoing testosterone replacement therapy, you should be getting, and again, depending on your age, the guy's 50 and older, you should definitely be getting your blood work done at least twice a year. Okay. Now, hopefully you're working with a progressive physician that understands how to do that. But again, as we already have discussed, many don't. This is about you. It's not about him. He has 600, 800,000 patients. You have to take ownership of your health. So again, read my book. It's all in there. But twice a year and maybe three times. So most important biomarkers for aging men to be aware of for sure, and I'll go in order, is your hematocrit and your hemoglobin. Now, those two levels are essentially a measurement of your red blood cells and the effectiveness or the aerobic effectiveness of those red blood cells. So what happens is that some guys, and not all guys, but some guys who take testosterone, especially injectable delivery systems, have the ability to develop what is called a thickening or a sludging of their blood. Now, this is not something to be worried about. It's not something to say, oh my God, you know, I don't want that to happen to me. It can easily be alleviated by giving blood. So going to a doctor, and even I even tell most guys, just go to the Red Cross, just make an appointment. I'm coming down, I'm donating my blood. You do that once a year, and you're usually golden. Now, the more cardiovascularly efficient you are, so if you do cardio, and of course I recommend in my book that you should do cardio because you want to improve the strength of your heart. Weight training is amazing, and we know it gives you all these different benefits at skeletal level and building muscle and improving fat metabolism, but you also have to do some form of cardio to improve the efficiency of your heart. Now, making sure you do that should also minimize the issues that you have with your hemoglobin and your hematocrit. Again, to its esoteric words, it's totally written about in the book, very simple to highlight, as Orris has already said. Your level should be your hematocrit and your hemoglobin. Hemoglobin should be somewhere in the level of under 18, and your hematocrit should be under 50. But again, it's all in the book. The other stuff to be aware of, your PSA. Your PSA is your prostate-specific antigen test. Most guys, when they have a stable level of blood testosterone, their PSA levels off. Some guys, depending on the delivery system, when they first use testosterone, can have a transient rise in their PSA. A good doctor will not be concerned about that. But again, how many of us are going to be working with a good doctor? So just make sure that you educate your doctor and say, depending on your delivery system, say, hey, doc, you know, I want to make sure that if my PSA looks high, that you retest me in a month. Okay.
Sure.
Because, go ahead.
Oh, let's talk about some of the things that can raise your PSA. First one comes to mind. I mean, sex will raise your PSA.
Right, right.
And you should be very careful about when you go and get your PSA tested.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a great Sieg. The reality is that the different delivery systems will increase PSA more. An injectable delivery system rarely does anything to PSA, okay? Now, if you do have a pre-existing prostate condition, okay, whether it's cancer or not, using testosterone is definitely contraindicated. Okay, so most doctors, and I do know to some doctors, I actually have friends with the best oncologists in the world in New York City at the Farber Radiation Treatment Center, which is like one of the top cancer places in the world. Dr. Lenny Farber is a very, very close friend of mine. He actually treats some of his prostate cancer patients with testosterone. Now, he's an advanced level doctor. I'm not telling the average garden variety doctor to go out there and test guys that have a pre-existing prostate issue testosterone, because again, it's contraindicated. But you don't want to get your blood tested, or you don't want to get tested whenever you're going back for a test to measure all the different hormones and biomarkers until a couple of days after your shot. Because when you test like on the same day of or the next day, your body is going to be at a quote-unquote super physiologic level because, again, the way the ester cleaves in the body, and it can throw false positives. Also, transdermal creams, gels, lotions, those can also irritate the PSA or create a false positive in the PSA. And again, normally over time, and that's usually a couple weeks, sometimes up to a month, the PSA goes back to a normal baseline level. So that's something that, you know, again, all this stuff is written in the book. If I'm not making sense now, just please buy the book and refer to it in the book. The other stuff to be aware of, obviously, is your lipids, okay? Your HDL, your LDL, your total cholesterol profile. Very, very rarely, okay, when you're using testosterone clinically, clinical dosage fashion, does it ever do really anything? There is some research out there that says that it can lower HDL, which is high density lipoprotein. Again, I don't want to get too esoteric for guys. All this stuff is in the book, but you should be aware of those levels too. You always want to look at your cholesterol. And then the other things are your homocysteine and your C-reactive protein. In order, all of those things are really the biomarkers to be aware of. Now, again, I have more stuff listed in the book. And there are other things that you have to be aware of. But those are the primary issues that you should be concerned with as you age for, you know, any kind of condition that may or may not arise when you're on testosterone.
Okay. One of the things that's
that I think has been disproven, but it's still bandied about, is the concept that testosterone causes prostate cancer.
Right.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. It does not. Again, it is contraindicated if you have pre-existing prostate cancer. It's believed, and it's, again, it's theory more than it is principle. There has been some studies that shown that it can, but not in all men. It can speed or exacerbate the rate of the development of the cancer. It's a metastatic condition. But most of the time, testosterone does not do anything with the prostate from a standpoint of cause cancer. And in fact, going back to our last conversation, those men with supremely low testosterone as they age, again, not being or having their hormones optimized, are more likely to have prostate issues because prostate cancer can grow in a clinical environment inside the body when testosterone is so low that it's causing malfunctioning of other systems. So you should have your testosterone optimized much more so than not to avoid prostate cancer as you age.
Sure, sure. Okay. We're hearing a lot about HCG and in conjunction with testosterone therapy. Share your thoughts, please, on the HCG stuff.
So HCG is, it's hard for me. I have a personal bias. I do not use HCG in my life. Now, most men, most doctors do prescribe HCG. Clinically, HCG is used to maintain testicular volume. What happens when a man uses testosterone is that over time, their endogenous, you know, their internal production of testosterone shuts down. Their body becomes reliant on the external, quote unquote, the exogenous form, whatever the delivery system you use is. And ultimately, your testicles atrophy. Now, in my opinion, and obviously I have 16, 17 years of using testosterone to believe this, it really doesn't do much to your sexual function, to your ability to climax, ejaculate, you know, eject sperm, etc. It's just some guys psychologically like to see, you know, having their testicles full, like the whole, you know, like bull sack testicles. I mean, you know, it's whatever floats your boat. Now, unfortunately, and again, this is more my opinion than what a lot of guys believe. Using HCG also, guys use HCG to improve their testosterone feeling, their delivery system, whatever it may be, and that is because there's some dopamine increase or dopamine improvement in the brain, and it's very transient, but it does happen when you inject HCG. The problem that I have with HCG, and by the way, do you use HCG yourself?
I didn't really notice a big difference.
Right, exactly. So the problem that I have, and this is, you know, a lot of guys, especially doctors that prescribe HCG, don't want to ever, you know, really look at this as closely as they should. It elevates E2. It elevates your estrogen profile, right? So if you already have testosterone coming in, and, you know, we didn't talk about this, I'll just give a quick discussion right now. When you inject testosterone, a lot of different biological systems are improving. But you also have the body trying to level and balance the testosterone and estrogen. And estrogen is known as E2 estradiol. There's three different forms of estradiol, but for the purposes of men and us talking about it right now, we just kind of think of E2. Aromatase is the enzyme in the body, and it lays in fat tissue that when injectable or any form of testosterone, exogenous testosterone comes into the body, the aromatase enzyme wakes up and says, oh shit, I'm getting excess testosterone. I need to balance my estrogen and my testosterone. So some guys, depending on their body fat levels normally, and the higher the body fat that you have, the more aromatase enzyme you're going to produce or overexpress, so to speak. You can have resulting estrogenic side effects. Estrogenic side effects are moodiness, a feeling of like, you know, having a temper where you kind of feel like irritable to like being like having hot flashes or having like just a moodiness. That's when your testosterone is not balanced between estrogen. So if testosterone is too high, estrogen is too low, you can have side effects. Estrogen too high, testosterone not high enough, not balanced, same thing. So ultimately, HCG, in my opinion, can throw off the balance between testosterone and estrogen because it can increase estrogen. Also, it has the ability to mimic luteinizing hormone, which is the number one reason that guys and doctors prescribe it, is because they say that having luteinizing hormone, the body, creating like this mimic, as I would call it, of luteinizing hormone from the HCG allows your body to continue to produce luteinizing hormone so that you never completely foul up your internal, what is called your HPTA, your hypothalamic testicular axis, which is you're basically like the central nervous system of your body from a hormone standpoint. So you want to keep your axis balanced. And so that's why they say HCG. But again, in my experience, using HCG, while there may be a very, very transient benefit from it, if you use too much of it and you use it for too long, it doesn't work, but it still continues to produce estrogen and it can elevate estrogen. So in my opinion, I don't use it. Now, again, there's millions of guys that use HCG. There's numerous doctors that could come on your show and tell me that I'm full of shit. But again, it's just my personal opinion. You know, Jim and I are not big proponents. Jim, of course, doesn't use it either. We're not very big proponents of it. But whenever you use anything in the hormone world, we always say, hey, you know what? We're all different. We're all endocrinologically and metabolically and biochemically unique. So try it and see what happens to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you got to pick and choose and figure out what works for you individually. There's some rules in general, but we're all different in a little different ways. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about if you're a converter and what do you do?
What do you mean when you say a converter?
What does you convert from testosterone to estrogen?
Okay. Good question. Great question. So, so what happens is okay. So, and again, this is in the book. If you're fat, okay, and what I classify fat as like 25% or higher body fat, there's a very, very strong likelihood that you are going to produce an overexpression of aromatase, which leads to estrogen, okay? Estrogen is needed. I don't want guys to think that you don't need estrogen. We absolutely, positively, unequivocally need estrogen. If you have no estrogen, you will be a sexual eunuch. You will have no sex drive. You will be sexually dysfunctional. You have no desire. You will not be able to get an erection. So you have to have some level of estrogen. You probably, and everybody's different, but normally you want to have a level of estrogen of anywhere from like the high teens up until the mid 30s. Okay. Higher or lower, you're going to have side effects. The fatter you are, the more likely you're going to have high estrogen. So you're going to be over that 45 at level and higher. I've seen guys in the hundreds, John, hundreds, you know, he had serious problems.
Let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about HGH and apomorelin and those meds and how they fit into anti-aging protocol. You mentioned them in your book, and I'd kind of like to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So, like, I think in the next iteration of the book, V2 or whatever we call it, I'll probably talk a little bit more about additional medications that someone can do to really, you know, advanced strategies type stuff somebody can do to enhance. I'm not a big proponent of growth hormone, although, well, let me take a step back. Growth hormone has changed clinically in the United States. You cannot, as a patient, have growth hormone, which is human growth hormone, HGH, prescribed legally unless you fall into a couple of different criteria. And those are you have wasting diseases, you have HIV, you were burned. You know, there's a number of different wasting diseases. And then you also, there's one other indication where you have a brain, like a concussion past syndrome, and they do it what is called a glucostim test. And if you fail that test, then they can legally prescribe you HGH. Now, here's why I'm not a big proponent of it. It's extremely expensive. And the effects that it provides at very supremely, you know, clinically minimum effective dosages, are literally not worth it in the comparison of cost. Now, again, if you're a super, super rich dude and money doesn't mean shit to you and you can spend $5,000 or $6,000 a month on growth hormone at one or two IUs a day, you know what, man, have at it. Is it gonna really benefit you in the long term, like in a way that is impactful and noticeable? In my opinion, no. Will it make you sleep a little bit better? Yes. Will it maybe improve your skin elasticity? Possibly. But is it going to do anything for you that is quote unquote the wonder effects of growth hormone? Not. It will not. Now, in order to get those quote-unquote wonder effects of growth hormone, you have to use massive dosages. Now, the bodybuilder type dosages. Now, when you use 6 IUs or greater a day, AM, PM, whatever, you know, a lot of guys just do it at night to sleep better. It also exacerbates the speed of tumor formation. So if you're a pre-existing cancer guy, you've got cancer in your family DNA, genetic tree-wise, there's a very, very strong possibility, and I would actually argue likelihood, that you will speed the rate of cancer development. So growth hormone at the level that you need to see amazing effects is not worth it.
Sure.
Nobody wants cancer. Now, ipamorelin and other biosynthetic growth hormone analogs, or peptides as they're known in the world, are better. They're not as strong. They're not as effective. But ipamorelin, in my opinion, is the only one of all the different peptides, and there are different peptides that are scripted by various anti-aging physicians that are similar to ipamorelin. But ipamorelin is the only one that any of the guys that are watching your show should consider, because it's the only one in vivo, in study, to actually not increase cortisol and prolactin like growth hormone does. All the other peptides also increase cortisol and prolactin. So ipamorelin is the only one that doesn't. So you can use ipamorelin and get a very low-grade, mild effect of growth hormone increase. Now, the other benefit of ipamorelin is that it increases your body's natural production of growth hormone. So it doesn't disturb, like growth hormone does, your body's production of growth hormone. So it's all it is doing is it's increasing your, or improving your pituitary to increase its natural growth hormone production. So as you get older and you have less natural production, it's a great medication. Now, the problem with ipamorelin is there's only like two or three compounding pharmacies at last check that make it. Now, there are a million, you know, over-the-counter research chemical companies out there that sell ipamorelin. I always tell guys to avoid those companies, because the average owner of those companies is a convicted felon. And, dead serious. They're not legitimate people. You know, they could send you 6 months worth of ipamorelin and it works amazing, and then you buy another 6 months thinking this guy's the man, and he sends you, you know, salinated shit water, bacteriostatic water with nothing in it.
Yeah.
You can't trust any of these guys. The only way that you can trust getting legitimate ipamorelin is to go through a compounding pharmacy. I know that Empower Pharmacy, the owner of Empower Pharmacy in Houston, Sean Norian, I'd be happy to give his information to any of you guys. He's an amazing guy. He'll sell it to anybody with a prescription. His doctor writes a script. I trust him. He sells it in 15 milligram dosages, which will last any guy about 2 months. So that's the only peptide that I can recommend. Now, I want to say as an aside, I do not use growth hormone. I do not use peptides. There's one thing that is very recent data, and I'm giving you kind of a breaking news flash here, is that elevated IGF levels, okay, which comes from taking growth hormone or any growth type growth hormone secreting peptide like ipamorelin, also has the sad fucked up ability to create gyno. So, you know, obviously gyno can happen from unbalanced testosterone and estrogen. We know that. But the one thing that we didn't know, or we're finding out much more now, is that also elevated IGF levels, IGF-1, which is interstitial growth fluid, which is essentially what gets elevated when you use growth hormone, also can flare gyno. Now, the problem with gyno that comes from growth hormone or any peptide that increases growth hormone promotion is it's glandular. When it's glandular and not estrogenic or estrogen-based, glandular can only be removed through surgery. So you don't want, in my opinion, again, everybody's different. Not everybody's going to get this. But you don't want to fuck around with getting, especially older guys, with getting gyno from IGF, elevated IGF, because you're going to have surgery. And guess what? It's not something that you can do through your benefits. And the guys that are good at doing it charge a fucking fortune. You know,
right?
And you're going into your nipple. I mean, you're going into your nipple, and every time you do an invasive surgery into an area that's full of, nerve endings, dude, anything can happen.
Sure.
So I tell guys I'm very cautious about using growth hormone and peptides because of that. And that's very, very recent data. Nelson and I have been talking about that. There's been like 3 or 4 studies that have come out in the last 6 months that have seen that now. And so I think what we're going to end up seeing in the next 5 years is we're going to see a massive increase in guys with gyno, and it's going to be glandular because they've been using these research chemical company peptides.
Some doctors, and I've heard this before, recommend cycling off of testosterone. What's your view on that?
Complete unadulterated, uneducated ignorance. You cannot cycle off testosterone when you're using it as replacement therapy, because as soon as your body shuts down its endogenous production, cycling off of it, you're going to be a eunuch. You're going to basically be dysfunctional. You're going to have no natural testosterone production. So the only way you could quote unquote cycle off of it is if you obviously you get cancer or you get some sort of medical condition that says that, you know, using testosterone can speed or accelerate the rate of formation of whatever, you know, disease you have. If you do that, then you have to take medications that can restart your natural testosterone production. And those are clomiphene, known as Clomid. Obviously, HCG has a purpose in that. However, the number one medication that a guy would use to, if they have to come off testosterone, is what is called HMG, which is human menopausal gonadotropin. HCG is human chorionic gonadotropin. All they are is actually women's urine. They're actually amino acids found in women's urine when they're fertile, when they're pregnant. And so they take this and they synthesize this under laboratory conditions, and guys inject it. Just like, you know, how guys would inject HCG, they would inject it. But there's never a reason to come off of testosterone when you're using it for replacement therapy, unless you have a condition that warrants it.
All right. Okay. Well, Jay, I want to thank you. This has been a great interview. Very informative. It's been awesome. Learned some things. I want to tell everyone to make sure that they visit Jay's website, FabFitOver40, that's 40.com. Has lots of good information, and it's a very active site. There is stuff showing up there all the time. Also, get the book, The Definitive Testosterone Replacement Therapy Manual, on Amazon. Link right below. Get that, read it, use it as a workbook. All right. Jay, thank you. This is Oris the K-Man from www.oldguytalks.com signing off. Create a great day.
Thanks for joining me on this podcast. If you like what you heard and learned, then be sure to do three things. One, subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. Two, share this with someone who may need to hear it also, and it may be your significant other. And three, review it. Give me a good review. If you didn't like it, give me a bad review. I don't care. Just review me. And be sure to get my free video on three ways to get laid more frequently without begging. Opt in at oldguytalks.com. Don't be that guy that just takes in the information. Take action. Without action, you're not going to get the results you want.